word. It'd be really good. You might be praying for people. The ceiling might explode as heaven cracks open and angels fall into this. That'd be kind of cool. It could happen. It could totally happen. So anyway, but Beth will be reading the word in senior high next week, so I'm really excited about that. Really, 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 really good stuff. All right, cool. Let's go do this. Are you guys ready to pray? Shall we pray? Can we pray? Let's pray. All right. Father God, we thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you today for your goodness. God, we thank you today, Father, for your greatness. God, we thank you that, Lord, we have your word today to be able to dive into it. So, Lord, today, as we begin to close out this year, as we begin to look forward to what you have for us in 2013, God, we ask, Lord, that you would speak to us as only you can. God, that you would talk to us, Father God, that you would cause our hearts to be changed, to be rearranged. God, that you would cause, Lord God, all that we are to become like who you are. So, Father, today we ask that you would teach us as only your Holy Spirit can. God, no matter where we are, Father God, no matter what we've done, Lord, we thank you that today our ears can be opened to hear your voice. God, that our heart can be soft to be molded by you. So, Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name, Father God. And Lord, as we do, we also pray for each and every other youth ministry, each and every other church in the Inland Empire and even around the world, Lord God. God, they're talking about you. God, we ask that you'd bless them just as you've blessed this place here. So, Father, pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. What, everybody had a good Christmas, right? Everybody had, yesterday. Can you believe it? Man, did everybody get what they wanted for Christmas? Did anybody not get what they wanted for Christmas? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I saw this Twitter feed, and it was, this guy was retweeting all these tweets that these people were saying, and like this one girl was like, "I hate my grandmother. I got a black iPhone 5 instead of a white one." She's like, she's all, "Worst day ever." And this one guy was like, 60-inch TV, Xbox 360, NBA 2K13 or something like that, but I didn't get my iPad. WT, word, letter, 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 letter. So mad. I was like, he's all, "Worst Christmas ever." I'm all, "You're stupid." But that's okay. I know, and now everybody look at the back. I know Jessica got exactly what she wanted for Christmas, right? Jessica, show them what you got. Show them what you got. Don't look. Don't look directly into the diamond, people. It could blind you. It could scar you. It could even make you jelly, okay? You may want to get a man that can provide like Sal do, but he's taken, ladies. He's taken. So anyway, but congratulations. Isn't that exciting? Our youth workers are going to get married. So exciting. Anyway, there are so many wonderful, wonderful things happening in the world today. Now, speaking of that, 2013 is upon us. Is anybody happy to say goodbye to 2012? Man, 2012, get out of here. You're old. You're old news, 2012. I don't want you no more. You're old. Like somebody's grandma. Now, granted, I love grandmas, but when it comes to years, it's about ready to expire, like old milk. And you know, if you keep old milk, it stinks. So I'm done with 2012. Bring 2013 on, baby! Now, granted, I know that there's not everybody's not here because they're like at home in a food coma. But still, you guys are here. So let's get ready for 2013. Let's get ready for something good, new, and exciting. Now I was talking to Beth, talking to my wife, talking to the family. We're like, you know, talking about 2013 a little bit. What's going on? What's going to be happening? And it's like really exciting. You know, I'm really excited about 2013. And I guess if you're taking notes, because I know you are, if you were to put a title to this message, it would be "Bring It On," because bring it on, right there. Bring is a very important word in the Bible. Bring is a very powerful, very significant Bible. Matter of fact, if you look it up in the Greek and the Hebrew word for bring means bring. And the depth of the Greek, the Koine Greek in the New Testament, classical Greek, the Greek word for bring, means to take from something from one place to another. It means to bring. That's right. Depth right there. Mind-boggling. So anyway, so 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 if you were to study and you were to look and you were to find out what the heck, you know, we're supposed to do with this word bring, it's actually really interesting because you know, Jesus has called you and I to bring something, to do something. And the truth is, everything you have, I mean, originally, we've said this a million times before, everything you have is a gift. I mean, nothing you have. I mean, you came into this world, you were tiny, you had a cone-shaped head, you were slimy, and you were naked. You had nothing. Matter of fact, the only reason you could breathe is because the doctor slapped you on the butt, bam, and you started breathing, okay? Everything you have is a gift from God. Everything you have is a gift from God. So, and when one day when we just so happen to leave this place, you know, we can't take anything with us. So everything we get in between is a gift from God, no matter how small, no matter how big. And God has a specific plan for everything in your life, not just you. You know, we preach it all the time that you have a purpose and you have a plan and you have this amazing destiny. But the truth is, everything that is in your life also has a plan and a purpose. And it only gets its purpose accomplished when you bring it to Jesus, when you bring it to God. You know, it's funny because depending on whose hands something is in depends on what's done with it. Now, I know that's probably not a very deep thought, but think about it. You know, back in the day, in the 80s, when I was alive and a child, there was this TV show called MacGyver. I don't know if you have the picture, but if you do, you can present it. Yes. MacGyver. Man with the mullet. And there was a show in the 80s called MacGyver. You could probably YouTube it and look it up. But MacGyver was famous for kicking butt and taking names. I mean, I guess he was kind of like, I guess he was along the lines of a Chuck Norris. Although we all know there is only one Chuck Norris. He was along those lines, and he would rescue the day and save the world and do secret spy stuff and all these things. But the thing about MacGyver that made him amazing is that he could have anything and turn it into anything. I mean, literally, there was like, people would watch this by the millions. He would be stuck in like this underground dungeon with like chewing gum. And he would somehow, some way, take this chewing gum and get out of the dungeon. Like, seriously, there's this one episode where there's actually numerous episodes where he had a paperclip, and he would turn the paperclip into a weapon. He would turn it into a nuclear bomb. He would turn it into a secret decoding device. He would use it to contact extraterrestrial life. I mean, this guy would do anything. There's one episode where literally he saved the day with eggs. Literally, he saved, I mean, and this is not a joke, and people would watch this. They didn't TiVo it because TiVo wasn't invented. They had VCRs and stuff. But literally, I mean, this is what he would do all day. And it's like in the hands of any other man, a paperclip would simply attach two pieces of paper. If you're strong, maybe four. But that's what a paperclip does. But in the hands of MacGyver, it becomes a secret weapon that can defeat even the wiliest of foes. It all depends whose hand that paperclip is in. It's interesting. Now, I guess if you were to attach this to spiritual principles, the same thing with you. I mean, what do you have? What's in your life? What's around your life? Because if it's in your hands, it can only do so much. But if you were to take that same thing and if you were to put it in the hands of Jesus Christ, well, then he could do something with nothing. I mean, for goodness sakes, there was nothing. God speaks, and then there's something. That's a pretty good talent. You know, if you ask me, that's pretty good. Last time I spoke, when there was nothing, nothing happened. It just got loud and a little echoey. You know what I'm saying? That's all that happened. But if God can take nothing, if Jesus can take nothing and make it into something, then what can he do with your something? Because if you were to bring your something to Jesus, then Jesus can take your something and make it into something useful, something great, something wonderful. He could take your something and turn it into something restored or something fixed. He could take something that is worth nothing and make it valuable. See, 2013 is ahead of us. It's in your hands. It's in your pocket. It's in your future. So what are you going to do with it? Because you can do something with 2013, or you can bring your year. You could bring your goals. You could bring your problems. You could bring your whatever it is that you have, and you can bring it to Jesus and put it in his hands. And he could take your something and make it into something greater. You see, There's this old saying that whatever is in God's pocket is better than what's in my pocket. Whatever is in God's hands is better than what's in my hands. But the problem is this, is that if it's in my hands, well, then God can't do anything with it until I put it into his. You can't get what's in God's hand until you let go of what's in your hand. See, so this 2013, I just, in my heart, I feel like it's going to be a year to bring. A year to bring what we have and give it to what, and give it and make it into something that God has. Because with us, there's only so far we could do and take things. And when I look at what Jesus asked, because, you know, it's not just bringing this or that. It's what does Jesus ask to bring? What did Jesus do with things that were brought to him? I mean, if you look at it, you know, one thing Jesus was consistently asking was for people to bring people. He consistently said, bring this person to me, or bring this person. It's kind of funny because one thing Jesus specifically asked people to bring is people, is people to him. I mean, if you're taking notes, then that would be number one. Is God wants you to bring people to him. Jesus is asking you to bring people to him. You know, I said a statement earlier before that, you know, you came in naked and poor, and you're going to leave the world naked and poor. I mean, even the nice suit and the makeup they put on you gets eaten by worms, right? I mean, it's gross, but that's what happens. It's nasty, but you don't take anything with you except for people. You know, it's been said the only thing you get to take to heaven with you is people. Your job, your car, all this other jazz. I mean, look, it's all staying here. I literally remember reading a news story one day about a man who wanted to be buried in his car. They dug a huge hole, they put him in his car, and they buried it. And I'll tell you this right now, I don't think he's going very far. You know? He tried, but it didn't work. I mean, even thousands of years ago, the ancient pharaohs and kings, they got buried in the pyramids, and that's why they built the pyramids. And they put gold, and they even had people buried in there with them. They brought their pets, and they put their pets in golden boxes next to them. That's weird. When they died, the pyramids are big. The pyramids are just really big tombs in Egypt. And you know what happens? 10, 20 years later, somebody broke in and stole all their stuff. That's what happens. The tombs got robbed. They're lucky. A couple thousand years ago, some British scientist opened it up and put it in a museum. They didn't take it with them. That's why Jesus said it's the greatest thing we could do. That's why in the Gospels, you know, you'll find one thing Jesus consistently says, bring this person to me, bring that person to me. Because people are the most valuable thing we could ever focus and think on. In the book of Mark, you'll look and see what happens when people are brought to Jesus. And we could go story after story after story, but we just don't have that much time. But in Mark 2:3, there's this story about this man who was paralyzed. His arms didn't work, the legs didn't work. I mean, and back then, they didn't have Medicare. They didn't have, you know, necessarily wheelchairs. They didn't have these different things. So this guy was carried around by his friends, by his family. He was laid out in places, and they didn't have handicapped parking spots, okay? So the world was very cruel to this man. The world was very hard to this man who couldn't move on his own. He was stuck as a slave in his own body, really. So in Mark, the second chapter, if we were to start at verse 1, it says, again, Jesus entered the city of Capernaum after many days, and it was heard that he was going into a man's house. So there Jesus is stopping by some guy's house, I don't know, maybe to pick up some cookies, and maybe just to talk to the dude for a couple minutes. And all of a sudden, people hear, and this huge flash mob comes. It says, immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. I mean, people were packed wall to wall to wall to wall, people in and even outside the door. People were probably peeking through the windows. They're probably putting their ears against the walls to hear what he was saying. And it was absolutely jam-packed. And it says that Jesus began to preach the word to them. And it says, as the people came to him, they brought a paralytic who was carried by four men. Four of his best friends brought this paralyzed man. It says they could not come near Jesus. Why? Because of the crowd. I mean, it was wall-to-wall people. So what did they do? They uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. I mean, they climbed to the roof. They got some, they must have had some sticks or rocks or a pickaxe or something, and they break into the man's house through the roof. Talk about opening an insurance claim or something like that, you know? And so they break into the man's house through the roof, and they lower him down on a bed with a rope. It says, so when they had broken through, they let down the man that the bed on the paralytic was lying on. And it says, Jesus saw their faith, and he said to that paralyzed man, he said, son, your sins are forgiven you. So the scribes are sitting there reasoning with their hearts. Why is this man speaking blasphemies? They start getting really upset. And all of a sudden, he goes down to verse 11 and says, you know what, son? I say to you, arise and take up your bed and go to your house. It says the man stood up, began to praise God, went home. You see, these four guys brought their friend to Jesus. They were bringers. They were bringers. They brought a broken man to Jesus. This man got forgiven. That means everything on the inside of him was made right. And then he was healed. Everything on the outside of him was made right. Now, I don't know about you, but do you know anybody that's got issues? Yes. That's why some of you got in a fight or three or ten this last year, because you know people with issues. Look. Somebody in this place got into an argument, in the past 4 days with somebody. You know people with issues. They're broken on the inside. We need to be bringers. We need to bring people, our friends, your enemies, I don't know, your neighbors. We need to be people who are bringers. We bring people to Jesus. Because this man had issues. Could you imagine how crazy you would be if you couldn't move your arms and legs? I mean, imagine that right now. Imagine right now. If you were tied up and you couldn't move your arms or legs for the next week. You couldn't walk anywhere. You couldn't text. On your own, imagine you couldn't move your fingers. Do you know how crazy I would be cussing so bad for like I have nightmares. Literally, I have nightmares about things like that. Imagine not being able to move your arms, your legs, only your head. For the next year, you couldn't play sports. You couldn't play video games. Look, you couldn't hug your mom. Imagine that. And this man lived that way. He had a need, and his friends loved him enough to bring him to Jesus. Why? Because when broken people come to Jesus, they get healed. When people who are hurt come to Jesus, they get healed. Maybe you're the paralytic. Maybe there's something in your life that's paralyzed. Maybe you need to bring your problems to Jesus. Maybe the person you need to bring to Jesus is you. Maybe you're the one you need to bring to Jesus. You know, just a chapter earlier, Jesus is walking down on the shore and he sees these guys fishing and says, hey guys, let all that stuff go. Stop it. Follow me. He said, bring yourself to me. And they did. He said, now I'm going to teach you to be fishers of men. I'm going to teach you how to bring other people to me. I want you to be a bringer. Bring you and all your friends to me because I got the answer. See, this is what it's about. You don't got to turn there, but in Luke 14, Jesus tells his whole story based on bringing. Jesus tells this story, it's a parable, and he says, look, there was this guy, and he wanted to throw a big, fatty party. He had the food, he had the caterers, he got the Siberian tiger that was going to come out there and just roar at things. I mean, he had the fattest, freshest wedding reception a man could think of. This guy was like a king. This guy had money. This was the type of stuff that you'd see on Food Network or Bravo. I mean, mean, this is the kind of stuff they make TV shows out of. That's what he's saying. And he invited this guy and this guy and this guy. And nobody wanted to come. Nobody wanted to bring themselves to this party. So he said, I need you to make something happen. He went to all of his employees and all of his servants. And he said, look, guys, look, look, ain't nobody coming right now. And this party needs somebody here. So he said, if you got to do something, you got to do this. He said, in Luke 14:21, he said this. He said, the servant came and reported all these excuses, all these denials of attendance to the master. And he said this. He said, the master of the house, he became angry. And he said to the servant, he said, go out quickly, go to the streets, the lanes, the city, bring the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. Because this party deserves somebody to enjoy it. He said, bring people. Bring people. Bring. He said, I don't care who they are, because this party's good. And if the people who are invited don't want to come, then I'll invite everybody else just to show them how great this party's going to be. That's exactly what Jesus, the party is heaven. The party is being with Jesus. The servants, the employees who are supposed to be bringing, that's us. The master, that's Jesus. Look, you're going to the party, right? Aren't you? You're going to be there. You get to ride the tiger. You get to taste the food. You get to listen to the band, right? You get to be there. You be there all night, eating and drinking, and having a good time. But what about everybody else? Shouldn't they be there too? Wouldn't that be selfish if we didn't bring a friend? BYOB, man. Bring your own buddy, not the other B. You know what I'm saying? That's what it is. He said, guys, your job is to be a bringer. Bring people. This is what it means. It means, you know, whether you bring people to church, it means whether you bring Jesus to people. Look, there's people in the Gospels, and they brought Jesus to them. If you can't get them to church, then get Jesus to them. Because not everybody wants to go to church at first. So you need to bring Jesus with you to your world. Some people you could bring to church. Some people you got to bring church to them. You know, one man, his daughter was so sick, she eventually died. Can't bring her to Jesus. Bring Jesus to the dead girl. Well, when Jesus got there, she wasn't dead no more. This is what God wants us to do. This is what God's called. This is what 2013 is about. And you think, Pastor Richard, I don't know a lot of people. I've tried. People say no. Okay, then what do you have? What can you bring to Jesus? If people don't want to come with you, then what do you have? What can you bring? There's this story where all these people, there's all these people in the book of Matthew, and there's all these people sitting down. They're listening to Jesus, but they're getting grumpy, and they're getting angry, and they're starting to grumble. And if you've ever just been hungry, so hungry that you're angry. If you've ever been hangry, it's an ugly sight. And I imagine 3,000, anywhere between 3,000 to 20,000 hangry people that do not regularly shower. It's an ugly sight. So Jesus says, we better feed these people or I'm going to have to start healing a whole lot of them. Because they're going to get in a big, ugly fight. He says, where can we get food? And the disciples are like, we're really planning on feeding a few thousand people, Jesus. Left my thousands of servings of hors d'oeuvres at home. And Jesus said, well, what do you got? So this little boy says, hey, I heard you need some food. And they're like, what are you talking about? You're a little boy. He's all I got is this. I got a couple of fish and a couple of things of bread. He's like, okay, that'll do. Bring it. Bring it. Bring it. He didn't have a lot. He had a little. He didn't have a lot. He just had a little. In Matthew 14, verse 16 through 18, it says, these people don't need to go away. You guys give these people something to eat. He says, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. He says, the little boy. This is the little boy's lunch. You know, this story is all throughout the Gospels. He says, well, bring them here. Bring the food to me. See, it doesn't matter how much you have. It matters what you do with it. It's not how much you bring, it's how much you surrender. How surrendered are you? Because if all you have is a piece of bread in your life, then God can do something with it. He took that bread, he took those loaves, he took those fish, and he fed thousands with them. I don't know exactly what that looked like. Like he like broke the head off and gave it to somebody and was like, that'd be pretty tight. I don't know. I don't know if it was like, I don't know if it was in like a big bowl where he's just like kept on and it just never went. I don't know if like, you know, the cartoons where they take things out and they never really get lower. It just kind of, you know. Anyway, I don't know if that's what it looked like. I don't know. I just know that it was enough. A miracle happened. Something that shouldn't have happened happened because this kid brought what he had, gave it to Jesus, and in the little boy's hand, it was enough to feed him and his family. In Jesus' hand, it was enough to feed everybody. So what do you have? You have talent? Cool. Your talent can take you where? But your talent given to Jesus, look. If all you have, I mean, look, if all you got is $5, your $5 will buy you, I don't know, not won't buy you much. But if you give it to Jesus, now I'm not saying give everything, unless you really want to, but $5 in Jesus' hand, I mean, look, it was able to bless Beth, and it's able to feed others. See, we've got to check ourselves and say, am I too busy holding these things on to me? Yeah, I read a long time ago, back in 2010, there was a story about Craigslist. There's a 17-year-old boy from Glendora, you know, like an hour off that way or something. The 17-year-old boy, he wanted a dirt bike. So he put his phone on Craigslist for trade. We eventually found somebody crazy enough to trade his cell phone for a dirt bike. So he traded it for a dirt bike. His cell phone turned into a dirt bike. Then he started thinking, he's like, oh, snaps. I can get a dirt bike from a cell phone? Wonder what else I can get. So he began to trade stuff. And within 2 years and 14 trades, his cell phone turned into a Porsche. Literally, a 2000 Porsche box. Porsche? I don't know. Anyway, some French word, whatever it is. But it turned into a Boxster S, a 2000 Boxster. 14 trades, his cell phone traded for something. I mean, literally, eventually he got like an old Blazer. It was like a 1975 Chevy Blazer or whatever, you know, a car. Not a jacket. And I guess it was like a collector's item. Somebody traded him a collector's item that was worth like a grip of money. And he traded that for the Boxster. Can you imagine that? 2 years, 14 trades. This is a true story. Look it up. This is a true story. And that's all it took. He's 17 years old. Started when he was 15. By 17, he got a Porsche. Look, that little boy in his hand took a phone and turned it into a car. All depends on whose hands it is. And here's the thing, is it started off as a phone. This little boy's lunch started off as a family picnic. And then he took and turned and traded in this family picnic for a feast to feed a baseball stadium. He traded up. What do you have? Because it doesn't matter how small it is or how big it is. Because it doesn't matter how small it is. Because God's good at taking small things and making them big. Look, he took a man's broken body and traded it in for a healed body. That man was dancing and jumping and running around. If this little boy can turn something so small into something so great, hey, what can God do with what you have? Bring it to his house. Give it to God. Whether it's your talent, if all you got is an extra hour a day, trade it in. Trade in an hour of the internet for an hour of prayer and reading the word. Trade in walking home, texting your friends to walking home looking for people to help on the way home from school. An old lady taking her trash out. Giving a dog a drink of water because it's thirsty. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Trade in something, your small something, for something greater. And when you bring that to God, you'd be surprised what you have. Bring people. Bring what you have. And if you do those two things, you'd be amazed and astounded by what happens. See, whatever you bring to Jesus becomes bigger. Whatever you bring to Jesus becomes greater. Whatever you bring to Jesus gets more valuable. That's what he did with your life. That's what he did with my life. 2013, I think it's all about what we can bring. I think it's all about what we can offer to God. Look, it's not a matter, no matter how big or little it is that you have. It's a matter of how much you're willing to surrender your life. You know, in Romans, the 11th to 12th chapter, it talks about so many different things, including sacrifice. It says, present your body as a living sacrifice, not a one-time thing, but as something you do each and every day, that your life is a sacrifice, that you wake up ready to give this day to God, that you go to sleep ready to give the next day to God, that you say, God, this next breath is for you, so whatever I can do with this breath, let it be so, and let it glorify you. That's what it is. Don't keep it to yourself. Bring it to God. Put it in his hands. So if you can say anything to God, let's give him a praise.
Cool. All right.
Let's do this. Let's go ahead and get ready to wrap this bad boy up, man. We're going to shut this thing down and, go because it is Christmas week.